Today is indeed the final day of our summer series, Storybooks and Scriptures. Our reading this morning comes to us from Psalm 130. Listen for the word of God. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. The word of God for the people of God. As some of you know, Scott and I celebrated our wedding anniversary recently, and every year when we celebrate, we take some time to reflect. Together, we recount some of our favorite memories from all of our years of marriage, and then we share stories and memories out loud together about our most recent year of marriage. What difficulties did we partner together to overcome this year? What do we most celebrate about the year that has just passed? And how did we grow together this year? As part of our annual reflection ritual, we ask each other questions too, and one of the most helpful questions to us as a couple and as individuals has become this question. How have you seen me grow and change over the last year and over the life of our marriage together? Stop and wonder for a moment how someone close to you might answer that question about you in the past year. What might someone near and dear to you mirror to you about your life? How would you answer that question yourself? This year, Scott's answer took me by total surprise. I never would have guessed it. How have you seen me grow and change over the last year and over the life of our marriage together? He replied without hesitation, I have seen you become more patient. Now, for those of you who may be thinking Scott has given me ample opportunity to practice patience, that is decidedly not what he meant. I still have a lot of room to grow in this area, which explains at least part of my surprise. Patience is just not my virtue. It's something I really have to work at regularly. So I was taken aback when he said this straight away. The way that he's witnessed me grow and change over the course of our married life is patience. It's a little nerve-wracking to know and be known, isn't it? Even still, something tells me that I'm not the only one in this room who struggles with waiting. Something tells me I'm not the only one who has figured out slowly but surely how to develop patience amidst the waiting. But sometimes waiting just isn't easy. Something tells me I'm not the only one who has been forced to develop patience while waiting. Just think of Rush Hour. Gerald the Elephant has that part of the book spot on as far as I can tell. Sometimes we'd rather just give up and walk away, saying to Piggy and to whomever else might be listening, enough is enough with this waiting stuff. I am out of here. And then on the next page of the book, we're willing to keep at it, waiting a little more. And then waiting a little more, just to see what might come at the turn of the next page and the one after that. Until eventually we are surprised with a night sky filled with stars. If you couldn't tell from this morning's book and wondered why the lights went out at the end of the book, that's the surprise that Piggy had for Gerald the elephant. He was waiting for a sky dark enough that they could look up and see a brilliant sky filled with stars. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. This psalm strikes me as coming from a place in life when you aren't really sure if morning is ever coming again. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. This isn't simply about impatience. This is about difficult, drawn-out seasons. It's about a seemingly endless night. It's about longing for morning more than those whose actual job it is to long for morning. Have you ever experienced waiting like that? Waiting for a medical result, waiting for a baby to arrive safely in the midst of a difficult pregnancy, waiting for a school acceptance letter when it isn't a given that you'd get in anywhere, waiting for grief to ease and grow softer in its pangs, that the tears might one day trickle more softly instead of taking your breath away completely with surprise, waiting by a hospital bedside. The truth is that waiting can be some of the hardest work that we as human beings go through. And yet it is something that we all share in common, even if our dark nights look and feel different one from another. What are you waiting for, I wonder? What about the person sitting nearest to you today? The Psalms are such a unique part of Scripture in that they were written over the course of hundreds of years by different people, and their compilation was used in worship time before the time of Jesus, as well as by the early church, as we talked about in Polo this morning. The Psalms incorporate such a wide range of human emotion, from elation to doubt to fear to absolute rage. And in that expansive range, we can find companionship for our seasons of waiting. In the Psalms, we are reminded that we do not need to hide what we are really up against in our inmost thoughts and feelings. God knows. So share it in prayer, even when it isn't pretty. Share it in fullness with God in prayer. For as the psalmist prays, no matter how difficult, God can work with that. So many times as we read through these songs, we find words of anger or estrangement or desperation, and these can truly free us to be exactly as we are before God, not hiding, for nothing really can be hidden. Braving openness with God can allow God's light to enter into the darkness that remains within us and shine into those spaces that we tremble to name. Name it. In psalm, name it in prayer, but name it. Give voice to it. For so many of us, our inclination may be to stop talking to God when our anger or our grief or any emotion becomes too much. If you ever find hesitation within yourself about addressing these things head on with God, remember that psalmists often name their frustrations, their anger, all of it in their prayers too. Seasons of waiting in our lives need not be passive when we keep the lines of communication between us and God open and flowing freely. God can work so much blessed transformation through the act of praying, even if we do not move an inch from where we are seated. Waiting need not be passive, too, in that we have the opportunity to learn how to wait with hope, how to wait with trust, even when it's hard, perhaps especially when it's hard. When we're honest with God about our fear, our sadness, whatever chaos is churning inside of us in seasons of difficult waiting, we can approach encounters with the holy with a unique kind of openness. Sometimes it is in our most vulnerable moments, in seasons of near shattering despair or fear or anger. It is then that God will surprise us. Poet Jan Richardson, whose poetry speaks to so many dark nights of the soul, wrote a poem of blessing, a prayer for those who wait. It's called Blessing for Waiting, and it goes like this. Who wait for the night to end, bless them. Who wait for the night to begin, bless them. Who wait in the hospital room, who wait in the cell, who wait in prayer, bless them. Who wait for news, who wait for a phone call, who wait for a word, who wait for a job, a house, a child. Bless them who wait for one who will come home, who wait for one who will not come home. Bless them who wait with fear, who wait with joy, who wait with peace, who wait with rage, who wait for the end, who wait for the beginning, who wait alone, who wait together. Bless them who wait without knowing why they wait. Bless them who wait when they should not wait, who wait when they should be in motion, who wait when they need to rise, who wait when they need to set out. Bless them who wait for the end of waiting, who wait for the fullness of time, who wait emptied and open and ready, who wait for you. Oh, bless. In the midst of waiting, may we practice hope and practice anticipating blessing. And when we are not able to practice those things on our own, may God surround us with communities committed to holding on to hope for and with us until we can remember in our bones what hope feels like. May God surround us in those seemingly hopeless times with people who will encourage us to wait just a little longer, reminding us how to turn a few more pages of the book, one at a time, reminding us by simply sitting in silence with us when there are no right words to say, reminding us by reading out loud the stories and songs of our faith when we aren't so sure about faith, reminding us with notes and knowing smiles that come at just the right moment, reminding us even with dancing. You may have seen that video that went viral a few years ago of a brave woman named Deborah Cohen about to undergo a double mastectomy, who chose to dance her way into her operation. Just before she was to go under, she requested of her surgical team that they join her in dancing together, and they filmed it with cell phone cameras as they dance. Little note here, she had asked permission of her anesthesiologist beforehand, as well as a couple others on the surgical team. But patient Cohen, who was also a doctor, knew that she could find a place of joy and courage when dancing. And she wanted to invite the whole surgical team into the joy of embodiment before putting her body through a very difficult and rigorous journey ahead. She was interviewed after millions and millions of people had viewed her pre-surgical dance party. And in this interview, she explained that not only were there thousands of total strangers who danced for her healing, wishing her well through their movements, sending her videos, but she began to share about the people who had found their strength somewhere in the middle of her story. One story in particular stuck with me. Dr. Deborah Cohen said, "I'm getting emails, beautiful, incredible emails, every day. I got one the other day from this woman who has a 3-year-old daughter who went into surgery yesterday. And for a few weeks leading up to her surgery, she was watching my video. And this little 3-year-old girl, her name is Jewel, was calling herself Deb Cohen. And she went into surgery. She and her surgeon danced to my video one last time before her surgery, and her mother said she was not afraid. And that actually has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the fact that this little girl was able to look at the video and see herself in me." As members of the body of Christ, we do not live only to and for ourselves, but also for and with one another in this world. We are many parts of one body, and we can help one another to come closer to God by the psalms that we sing. We can be living reminders for each other. Just a few pages more of this story, and you will be able to see the stars. And when we're on our own, and trying our very best to practice hope and anticipate blessing when we are feeling stuck, living out our own psalms of fear and sadness and desperation, may we lean into active waiting. Active waiting, like letting the tears fall without holding them back and finding someone to talk to about what's really behind them. Psalm 130 isn't just about waiting without feeling, after all. It's getting through this moment and the next moment by remembering that our souls wait for the Lord in whom forgiveness is possible and love is everlasting. Active waiting is waiting with remembrance that God is still in the midst and in the mix. Active waiting keeps that conversation open and flowing. So find a go-to prayer, a one or two-liner that you can repeat as often as necessary to remember or to come into the awareness for the first time that God is with you. As one saint among us put it, God, hold my hand, and walk with me. Or as I pray quietly before every sermon I preach, God, help them to hear the things I don't know how to say and forget the things I shouldn't have said at all. Or perhaps your go-to prayer might be the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Maybe your go-to prayer is one of the lines from a favorite hymn, like the evening service song that begins, I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. Or perhaps your prayer in the middle of loneliness might be, God, you are with me. Help me to remember. Or perhaps your prayer by the hospital bedside might mirror the one that slowly transformed and brought me peace beyond articulation on one of my longest nights, spent sleepless at my beloved's hospital bedside during the first year of our marriage. God, please help us to be okay. Please help us to be okay. Slowly but surely, through the repetition of that simple prayer, I came to trust that truly, whatever happened that night in life or in death, we would both be okay. Hope stayed with me in that hospital room, and God's peace poured over me in the middle of the night through repeating such a simple prayer gifted to me by my pastor at the time. I wonder if you have prayed a prayer like that, too. In Psalm 40, we hear, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. God will put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise to our God. Let that sink in for a moment. Are you ready to sing a new song? Because a new song may be coming, even if we do not yet know the tune or even the words. So, beloved, stay active in your waiting. Stay open. Keep pursuing relationship with God no matter where you find yourself amidst the Psalms of life this day. And if you are in the midst of Psalm 130 today, know that the stars are still out there, beaming brightly, sending light shining all over the place, even if you cannot see it just yet. Keep turning the pages of the book. Keep praying. Keep in community as you are able. Keep in silence when you need it most. Keep waiting with God through the tears, with Jesus weeping. Just keep turning those pages. Because soon enough, you just might be ready to share the sunrise with someone too. To God be the glory now and forevermore. Amen.